I'm Leonard Lopate, and this is WNYC 93.9 AM 820. We're online at WNYC.org. Ousmane Sembène is more than just an African film director. He is the African director. For four decades, the most significant force in that continent's filmmaking history. His uncompromising but always emotionally connected films have won awards around the world, including at Cannes, Venice, Moscow, Karlovy Vary, and Addis Ababa. In Africa's Francophone film community, he is, at 81, l'un des anciens, the elder of elders, someone whose passion and commitment to societal change have inspired filmmakers and infuriated governments in Europe as well as at home. His latest is Moulade, which is being shown tomorrow and Thursday at the New York Film Festival and opens this Friday at the Lincoln Plaza and Cinema Village. It's Mr. Sembène's ninth feature and one with a typically up-to-the-minute subject, female genital mutilation, a practice that the World Health Organization estimates put 2 million girls at risk annually. It is my great honor to welcome the man they call the father of African cinema to my show today, and serving as our translator is Professor Samba Gajigo of Mount Holyoke College. Welcome.
Bienvenue. Thanks.
In many of your films, you've made the case that the two competing cultures, traditional and modern, must blend into a single culture. And that is that what one of the reasons for making this film as well?
Je pense que c'est ça.
I think you're right. Yes, that's the point. Africa has reached a point in its history where process now is going on. And Africa is renewing itself. But Africa is also renewing itself at the same time when the rest of the world is also changing. And on the entire planet, we are all entering a new cycle. We are in the process of change. And I think all cultures can participate in that process of change.
Well, the downside of traditional culture is that it requires blind respect for tradition. What's the downside of modernism for Africans?
I don't think we have yet reached fully the modern culture to see its downsides. But since we are citizens of this world, for us the other cultures serve as mirrors from others' experiences, and then we can see what is negative for humankind. I'm not talking about races, I'm not talking about ethnic groups, I'm talking about humankind. In the traditional culture, which we know very well, we have some very negative things, which I think ought to be, for instance, let me give you excision. I think it's something that should be getting rid of. In that film also, you have the Moulade, which is a right to asylum. And in the context of the film, we have two elements that are very, very important, which are the television and the radio set. And I think those serve as media communication between human beings.
You say about female circumcision, it has to be done away with. Well, it's practiced in 38 of Africa's 50 states. So it is still in very common use. Is it likely that we'll see it disappear in the near future?
There, I am really not a prophet. I cannot make predictions. I can share with you some experiences I have lived. And those happened just a week ago. Excision is practiced by old women, elderly women, who are in their 70s and 60s. In Burkina Faso, they passed legislation condemning excision. The lawyers who passed that legislation are in their 40s. This woman who practices excision, who is of the same age as her grandma, and they use the law to try her and to sentence her to years in jail. And yet, if you put everything in the context of traditional Africa, those people in the jury who tried this old woman, if you were in traditional Africa, they would not even be in a position to talk to that woman without bowing their head. That's a problem that is internal, specific to Africa. With this film, I did screenings in villages in Africa with women who have undergone the surgery themselves and who now in turn refuse to have their daughters go through
society.
And who are facing, who are taking over the society to refuse the excision.
Je ne peux pas dire la date où ça va
I can give dates, I cannot give periods when it is going to be eradicated.
Mais quand ça arrivera, mais ça disparaîtra comme c'est venu.
But I'm convinced that it's going to fade away the same way it has happened. Well, up to the 70s, we had three phenomena in Africa.
Disgracias.
which were very, very unpleasant. You have women who had long necks with rings, and each year a ring was added to their neck. You also had this woman with long lips who had tribal scars all over their bodies.
Ça disparaît.
That also has disappeared.
Et ça n'inquiète personne.
And nobody worries about that anymore.
Vous voyez donc comment nous luttons en Afrique. Ça, c'est leur
intérêt. That gives you an idea of the kind of internal struggle we are going
Mais
through.
Mais l'excision est une des choses les plus difficiles à éradiquer comme ça.
But yes, you're right. Excision is one of those things that are very, very difficult to get rid of overnight.
Mais je ne peux pas donner les dates.
But I cannot give you dates.
Well, in your film, the practice is cited by its defenders as a Muslim religious rite. And traditionalists, both male and female, are shocked when Kale, who is opposed, claims that it isn't really required by the law. She has learned that from listening to the radio.
Les hommes se sont servis de cette phrase.
Well, actually, men, what did the men folk do was to, just to use Islam.
Qui ne figure pas dans les cinq recommandations du Coran.
And that is not one of the five pillars of Islam.
Dans les hadiths,
and when you take the Quran, for instance, the hadiths, which are the spoken words of the Prophet, he spoke about excision only once as a reply to a question he was asked, and the question was, should it be cut or not? And his answer was rather ambiguous. After a time of reflection, the Prophet said, yes, you can just cut the tip of it. And I should mention that the practice of excision predates religion. And then people perpetuated it. But
actually,
it
predates. Ça en Egypte.
And right now it's still practiced in
en
Egypt,
Ethiopie.
In Ethiopia,
même au Kenya.
Even in Kenya it is practiced.
Mais dans les conditions les plus dégueulasses.
But in the most unhealthy conditions. And sometimes they don't just cut, but they also sew. So I think that's something that should be condemned.
They sew the vaginal lips together sometime. What is the justification for that, or cutting off the clitoris of a prepubescent girl?
Je ne sais pas, je ne peux pas dire la justification. On l'a trouvé en naissant.
I cannot really give you any justification. We found it there.
On n'a pas d'écrit là-dessus ni de recherche scientifique.
We don't have anything written about it. We don't have any scientific research.
On sait qu'Hérodote en a parlé.
We only know that Herodotus had spoken about it.
Qu'il a trouvé en Égypte.
And that he had observed it in Egypt.
Mais on n'a pas quelque chose d'antérieur.
But we did not have anything that predates Herodotus' writing.
Mais si je me base sur nos connaissances actuelles.
But right now, if I based on what we know about it, and I think I believe on those who did that
qu'ils soient des Africains ou des Européens,
whether Africans or Europeans, it is something that is very harmful. And now when you add the epidemic of AIDS, that makes it even more dangerous.
Isn't Mulade the second film of a projected trilogy about the place of women in Africa's society and economy?
Oui, c'est la deuxième d'une trilogie.
It is the second of a trilogy
que j'ai surnommé la trilogie L'héroïsme au quotidien.
And I entitled that trilogy Daily Heroism.
Par rapport à tout ce qui se passe en Afrique.
And that it's in light of everything that is happening
et
in
tout
Afrique.
Le problème qui se pose en Afrique.
And all the problems Africa is faced with.
Et je pense que c'est un problème au quotidien.
And I think those people are living daily problems.
J'ai fait les deux.
Now I have made the two films on women. The third film is going to be about a man. What I'm trying to show in that film is that how on a daily basis we struggle.
Qui en apparence n'est rien.
Which of course apparently is not very, very significant.
Mais qui en réalité tous les hommes.
But in reality touches all humankind. Because even you as a European, if you condemn excision,
c'est qu'ils trouvent que c'est pas juste, c'est pas légal.
It's because you think that it is not something, it is not fair, it is not legal.
C'est une violation qu'on fait aux femmes.
That it is a violation of women. Mostly at a time when we are fighting for equality between
et
men and women.
Et nous savons qu'il y a égalité hommes ou femmes.
And we know that there should be equality between men and women.
So do you think of yourself as a feminist?
Je ne pense pas à ces problèmes.
Oh, I really don't think about those things.
Didn't some of the women who saw the first film in this trilogy, didn't they tell you that as bad as you'd made it, your depiction didn't begin to reach the level of suffering of African women?
Oui.
Yes, they did.
Mais je dois parler à tout le monde.
But then again, my films are intended for all public.
Tout le monde sait que
and everybody knows that when I make films, I like films to be taken into villages to have discussions about
it. À partir du film, nous pouvons discuter de nos problèmes.
Because I think film is sets the stage for discussion, sharing ideas.
Mon continent,
in my continent, women are still voiceless. It's only a minority, really, that has a voice. But when I show, I screen my films, then that gives them voice. They can express themselves.
Au-delà du film.
And beyond the film also.
Le film n'apporte pas la solution.
And of course, the film I make don't purport to bring solutions to the problem.
Mais ça nous fait réfléchir, ça nous fait parler.
But it's the material that allows us to think.
Et chacun peut prendre une décision.
And I think we each can come up to our own decision after the discussion. And that's a choice I have made.
Le film doit faire parler.
And I think a film should be a ground for discussion.
Doit donner à réfléchir.
And it should also lead people to think.
À faire rire.
And to make people laugh.
Et apporte la gaieté.
And also to make people very happy.
And they are often quite beautiful. In fact, these films may be instruments of social change on some level, but they are also films that have complex human beings, have very, very powerful visual style.
Tout le monde me dit ça.
And everybody, that's what everybody tells me. But the truth is that I have not invented anything.
Ça dépend du cinéaste.
I think that's a choice each individual filmmaker makes. But you have to know that Africa is a beautiful continent.
Il est vrai, il y a la misère, il y a toutes les maladies.
Of course, we have a lot of misery, we have a lot of diseases, but also it is a beautiful
Mais nous
continent.
Nous avons un soleil, nous avons une luminosité.
We have a lot of sun, we have a bright sun.
Nous avons le tissu.
And we have very nice material. And culturally, we have very beautiful things.
Et ce qu'il a vu,
and the only thing you have seen is really the domestic art, as we label it back home.
So, now you shot this in a village in Burkina Faso, not in Senegal.
Oui.
No, it was in Burkina Faso.
Parce que je ne pouvais pas trouver.
It's because I could not find any other village that could embody that contradiction, for instance, between modernity and tradition, for instance, to offer the kind of mosque you have in that village.
Well, the clothing that people wear are just beautiful, and then the buildings are often painted pink, these mud buildings. And then the mosque is one of the most striking buildings I have ever seen.
Actually, to tell you the truth, I have not done any research about the dresses. Those are the authentic dresses the local people wear. And when people saw it in the movie, they thought it was very beautiful. And I think then the image gave them a reflection of themselves when those villages saw the film.
Now, the actors are the villagers as well. You only use amateurs, isn't that true?
Même pas des amateurs.
Oh, they are not even amateurs, actually.
Pendant qu'on faisait,
while we were shooting the film, and at night, I also screened films.
Avec des films pour leur faire découvrir
to make, help them discover what cinema is.
En même temps, je tournais, je leur enseignais.
And at the same time I was shooting, I was also teaching them how to read images. And everybody knows that that village where I shot the film is a very mystical village. And I should mention that it's a village in which they don't have cemeteries. Every household is its own cemetery. They all bury their dead within the confines of the house. And also it's a village in which you find a lot of masks. And you have to find the connection, the connection between the shapelessness of those masks
et l'état moderne.
And the modern times. What
si vous regardez beaucoup les masques
africains, if you observe a lot of African
ou
masks,
statuettes africaines,
or if you look at a lot of African statues,
la symétrie n'a rien des masques et statuettes grecques.
And then you look at their symmetry, they don't have any similitude with the Greek mask. And in African masks, for instance, you have disproportionate parts of the body, for
Le nombril.
And for instance, the belly button also, the navel. And you also have some kind of masks you don't find
oui,
in Greek culture. And you always find couples in the mask in Africa.
Chez les Grecs ou chez les Européens, en dehors les diables, vous n'avez pas beaucoup de femmes.
And if you take the Greek culture, for instance, you don't have a lot of women except that Jan.
But this brings us to another area of conflict in your films, and that is the religious conflict, because the masks come out of the older religions, and then Islam comes in, and there's also, in fact, Senegal, I think, is 95% Muslim. And then most of the other people are Christian or people who practice one of the ancient religions. But at the same time, it seems to me that they all merge and are at conflict at the same time.
Je ne pense pas que ça soit une contradiction.
I really don't think they live in some kind of contradiction.
C'est peut-être une harmonie.
I would say rather they live
une
in harmony.
D'harmonie.
They are searching for harmony.
Au Sénégal, nous sommes 80-90% de musulmans.
Well, in Senegal, we are about 85 to 90% Muslim.
Et officiellement, nous sommes des laïcs dans notre constitution.
But officially, there is a separation between religion and the state. Nobody has the right to create, for instance, a political party which is based on religion. We don't have that in Senegal.
Et c'est voté par voie référendum par la population.
And a referendum was organized around that issue, and it was decided that no party would be organized based on religion.
Ça, c'est une victoire sur nous-mêmes.
I mean, for us, that's really a victory on ourselves.
Nous savons que cette tolérance est une bonne chose.
And we know that that kind of tolerance is a very positive thing.
Le substrat culturel est toujours vivant.
And it shows that our cultural background is still alive. Now, if you take the Christian church in Senegal, now what I'm saying, I bear responsibility or what I'm going to say, the Christian church is getting Africanized at this point.
My guest is Ousmane Sembène. His film Moulade is being shown tomorrow and Thursday at the New York Film Festival. It opens this Friday at the Lincoln Plaza and Cinema Village. Stay with us for more here on WNYC.
Na 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 we, na 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 we, na 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 we, na 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 we. Unde gera la wai babai, yero negi 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 roku no mana lepto chende.
I'm Leonard Lope. This is WNYC 93.9 AM 820. We're online at WNYC.org. And my guest is a person who is often called the father of African cinema, Ousmane Sembène, whose latest film, his ninth, is being shown tomorrow and Thursday at the New York Film Festival. It's called Moulade, and then it opens for theatrical release on Friday at the Lincoln Plaza and Cinema Village. He's talking with me, and our translator is Professor Samba Gajigo of Mount Holyoke College. Can we talk a bit about your life? How did you get to this place? Your father and grandfather were fishermen, and you were a school dropout.
C'est peut-être la faute à mes parents.
Maybe that's my parents' fault.
No, je suis des gens de Mazar, mais
now when I think about it, I think my parents were very open-minded people.
Je me souviens tout.
And I do remember during my old childhood, I remember two things. My parents told me only two things: do not steal, do not lie.
Well, after you were expelled from school, I gather, for hitting the principal, you became a manual laborer, worked as a plumber and a bricklayer. Do you think your life would have stayed that way if you hadn't joined the Free French Forces during World War II?
No, really, I did not ask myself those questions. I mean, I don't think about psychoanalysis. I'm not a Freudian person. And I should tell you that even before I started attending French school, I had already attended Koran school. And that was a very difficult period for a child. And the other also difficulty in my life, and it's the period when you undergo circumcision. That has been the most difficult period in my life.
Because it occurs not at childhood, as it does in most places in the West, but at puberty?
And also, it is not just the surgery, but it is also a school, so to speak. You are taken away from your family.
On vous prend 3 mois dans l'isolement complet avec des garçons de ton âge.
And then for 3 months, you are isolated somewhere with the children of your age.
Et c'est une école.
And it is also a school.
Mais des preuves.
And with a lot of, how do we call it, hurdles to go through.
D'endurance.
And also you have to go through a lot of trials.
Et tout le village est d'accord.
And the entire village condones those practices. And I think actually that the period of my life that shaped what I am today. Because at that time you could stay 2 to 3 days without any food. And then you had to go through all the trials a man ought to go through.
Et quand vous sortez là, on vous dit vous êtes un homme.
And after that period of your life, you are told that you have become a man.
Et on te dit homme, tu dois faire honneur à l'homme.
And when you are told that you have become a man, you have to honor that status. And then when you are a child going through that experience, but that's something that is very, maybe that's what shaped me, as I said.
And also perhaps gave you so much empathy for the women who are going through the situation that you have in this film.
But yes. L'enfance, je savais, hein?
No, when I was already a child, I knew about excision.
Je dis, enfant, j'ai vécu entre deux grand-mères.
And when I was a child, I lived between my two grandmothers. And then throughout the earth, I mean, grandmothers have the same relationship.
Parce que arrivé à un certain âge, on revient enfant.
Because once you reach a certain age, it's like you come back to your
et
childhood.
L'enfant apprend à affronter verbalement sa grand-mère.
And then a child starts really confronting their grandparents. But that's a different kind of education.
Mais ça, c'est une Afrique perdue.
But that's an Africa that will never come back again.
Mais dans ma formation, je pense que toutes ces petites choses ont apporté.
But I think in my training, all those elements did contribute.
Et comme on m'a appris à faire plusieurs métiers à travailler.
And since I have been taught to do a lot of trades. And
avec
work,
la guerre, par hasard, donc je suis pour rien, m'a aussi apporté des choses.
Yes, through my experience in the war also brought me a lot.
Je pense que l'homme, à chaque étape de sa vie, est une expérience à apprendre.
And I think for every human, every step of your life brings a new experience.
La seule chose que j'aimais, c'est beaucoup la lecture.
And one thing I did love a lot, that was
j'avoue
reading.
J'avoue que j'ai jamais volé de l'argent ni du pain.
I am telling you, I have never stolen money or bread, but I used to steal books.
Well, you wound up going to France, worked as a on the docks, and became a union activist, became a Marxist, and then 10 years after, you wrote your first book. How did you get to that point? I know. I hear you started off writing poetry, but had you always wanted to write?
No, j'ai aimé lire, mais je ne sais pas.
No, as I just said, I love reading, but I can tell you exactly how I
au
came to write.
L'envie.
And the desire to write, I can tell you how it came
quand
to
j'étais
me.
Au syndicat,
when
France,
I was in the trade union in France, and with the workers, I was responsible. I had a lot of responsibility.
Les livres qui parlaient de l'Afrique.
The books that talked about Africa, they were all lies, a bundle of lies.
On ne parlait pas de l'Afrique qui travaille.
They did not talk about Africans who
on
were hard.
On parlait de l'Afrique des bananiers, des cocotiers.
They talked only about the exotic Africa. Oh. And that was the time when the Tarzan movies were very popular.
Oh, le temps où on faisait Bozambo avec,
And that the time when they were making Bozambo, the films.
Et mais ça m'a révolté.
But then I was disgusted by that.
Et je dis, je vais écrire.
And then I said, well, I'm going to start to write.
Mais pendant que je travaillais, j'allais à l'école pour apprendre.
And while I was a dock worker, I also went to school to learn
c'est
how to
qui
write.
M'a poussé peut-être à écrire.
Maybe that's what brought me to writing.
But you had to write in a foreign language, in French. A Vietnamese writer observed that the myth of the colonizer is, if you speak my language, you will become one of us.
And at a certain time of colonial history, the issue of language was a big issue. When I was born, during my childhood, I had about three spoken languages. But there were only two written languages, Arabic and French.
My
own language was not a written one. And I had to express myself what to do. Then what you do is that you take the weapon that is available to you and you turn it to your enemy. Although I did not make that weapon, I know where it is, I can appropriate it and use it to my own purpose. And for me, writing in French is not an alienating. Now we write in our own languages. Let me tell you a story. And talking about alienation. I did my first two movies
en parlant français.
In French. And then I started taking my films from village to village. I was very, very proud. And I was going from village to village screening my films. And then the farmers, they asked me, who did you make the films for?
J'ai dit pour vous.
I told them, I made them for you.
Mais pourquoi ils ne parlent pas notre langue?
They said, why do the characters don't speak our language?
Et j'ai appris.
And then that was an awakening experience for me.
And so you started making films in African languages, Wolof especially, because that's the main language of Senegal.
Every day of your life you learn. And I think sometimes you have some debates which really we have outgrown because I think they are just intellectual debates. In Molade, they speak Bambara.
Vous ne parlez pas Bambara.
You don't speak Bambara yourself.
Mais vous aimez l'écriture.
But you like writing.
Vous avez lu les sous-titres.
You have read the subtitles.
Et voilà ma victoire.
That's my victory.
Have things changed now that languages like Wolof and Bambara can be written as well? Have young Africans changed their way of thinking about language?
I think the African youth today speak European languages more than they do speak their native language.
L'Amérique est une fascination pour le monde.
And mostly English, because America fascinates people.
Les musiciens africains imitent les Américains.
African musicians imitate American musicians. Our politicians also imitate either Americans or French.
Ça, c'est aussi une étape.
But that's only one stage in our evolution.
Les langues ne sont pas les adversaires de personne.
And the languages are not anybody's adversaries. It is not because you speak French or English that you are necessarily alienated.
C'est ce que vous mettez dedans.
It is what you are speaking about that is
important.
What you are expressing that is important.
J'aurais aimé pouvoir parler américain, dire ce que je pense.
I would have loved to say what I'm saying in English. But for me, that's the real issue. It is not what language, but what you are saying. True, when you are talking about the cinema or you are talking about music, language is important, but it is not the most important thing. And I think now we are beyond those problems. We have outgrown those
issues.
And my wish would be that we all grow to speaking many languages.
C'est un enrichissement culturel.
Because it's a very, very enriching experience.
In Mulade, the women all listen to the radio, and the men of the village claim that radios are corrupting the women because it allows them access to the modern world and to corrupting ideas.
Les hommes, oui. Oui, parce qu'ils sont les fascistes.
Because the men are fascists.
Parce que c'est que les femmes apprennent de la radio.
Because what the women learn from the radio.
Et le contraire, c'est que les hommes enseignent aux femmes.
Is the opposite of what the men want the women to believe.
And there are two men in the village who've had experience in the outside world. One is a traveling merchant who's a former military man. And then there's the son of the village chief who has returned from an extended stay in France to take a wife. So they come with other ideas as well. They seem to be much more modern than the rest of the people in the village.
Ils constituent une classe à part.
And then they constitute a class.
Entre eux-mêmes, ils ne parlent que français.
And if you notice between themselves, those two, they only speak in French. Yeah, I mean, if you take, for instance, our power structure in Africa, in every country, they only express themselves in Western languages. Whether French, English, Portuguese, or Arabic.
L'expérience la plus riche,
the richest experience is this.
L'Afrique a plus de 40 ans d'indépendance.
Africa has more than 40 years of independence.
La réunion des chefs d'État, toujours, c'est des langues européennes.
And then when our heads of states meet, they always speak to each other in European languages.
C'est la première
it
fois
is the first time this year
qu'un chef d'État,
that of African head of states stood up and spoke to his peers using an African language. For us, that was really a milestone.
Et on l'a traduit dans toutes les autres langues.
And then what he said was translated into all the other languages.
Lui, on parle même pas Swahili.
And when you take, for instance,
the
African
quête.
Union, they don't even speak Swahili.
Mais c'est une quête.
But what they are doing is searching.
Il y a pas de solution immédiate.
There is no immediate solution. You keep looking for
L'Afrique n'a pas de solution immédiate.
Africa non. Does not have ready-made answers to its problems.
Prenons un exemple plus simple.
Let me give you a simple example.
Le sida est néfaste.
Well, of course, everybody knows that AIDS is very, very bad. But the truth is that malaria kills more people in Africa than AIDS.
Or on a des remèdes
and
de
yet,
malaria
there are a lot of medicines, medication made in Asia that are very, very effective against malaria.
Et on a,
and that despite all pressures, our leaders have not gone to Asia to bring us that medicine. And that's an endless struggle we are going through.
Well, just one more thing about that. You have been critical of the way African governments have conducted themselves, which has led you to be censored a number of times. Also, and even the bees have gotten you when you were making Galois, I understand, so that because they were upset with you as well. What has been the reaction to Mulade in Senegal and in Burkina Faso? Have people been upset by the way you've dealt with this story?
But then, if I don't make those films, if I don't do this kind
c'est
of work, who's
l'Amérique
going to do
si
it?
Vous pas lutté, qui allait lutter pour
it's
l'Amérique.
Like here in your context here, if you Americans did
si
not struggle to free your country, who's going to do it? If the French did not fight for the revolution, who would have fought it for them?
Nous ne faisons rien de nouveau sur cette planète.
We are not doing anything new. No, for me, what I'm really interested in is to galvanize the women and to lead them to struggle, to fight, to eradicate AIDS.
C'est le côté positif qui m'intéresse.
For me, I'm only interested in that positive aspect.
J'ai réuni les femmes et les ONG, on discute de cela.
And I bring together women and non-governmental organizations, and we have debates.
Et comme je l'ai toujours, les épouses des chefs d'État.
And then I always managed to bring the first ladies of the different states to come see the film.
Ousmane Sembène's work has been compared to John Ford's, to Louis Buñuel's, to Billy Wilder's, but he is a unique filmmaker and winner of many awards. Just this past May, he became the first filmmaker from sub-Saharan Africa to be awarded UNESCO's Fellini Medal. And at this year's Cannes Festival, he won a Saturn Regard Prize for Mulade, although A.O. Smith of the New York Times said that Mulade was the finest film at Cannes, a masterpiece of political filmmaking, and he was upset that it hadn't been entered in the main competition. I want to thank you so much for being with us on our show today.